Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us this morning for worship. You normally see me leading worship, and I've been doing that over the last number of weeks and been thoroughly enjoying it. It's been so rewarding. Boy, we really miss being able to do it in-house with a congregation physically and to be able to have a relationship that way. But until that time comes, we will continue on. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining with us each week. It's my privilege today to be able to share the word today. I want to ask a question this morning. How has virtual living been working for you? Has it been everything you had hoped it would be? Has it been thoroughly fulfilling? Well, even a seasoned introvert will answer a resounding no to those questions. You know, it really didn't take long to realize that I needed much, much more than what this virtual connection will give me. It's not truly reality, because we're created for a relationship. We long to be together with one another. I feel that, and I know you feel that as well. Of course, like many of you, the buds have been engaging in the online world, and we've spent our fair share of time, online with Facebook, FaceTime, Zoom, Teams, Messenger, Lark, Band, Google Hangouts, Google Meet, and playing Animal Crossing on the Nintendo Switch. You know, it's a real family affair with all four of us engaging in this virtual existence of living out our lives on this little island where we get to fish and garden and we buy and we barter things with each other. We're doing this to build our little homes and to build our lives on this little virtual island. And, you know, we've been having a great time. The kids have been having a great time. And, well, they've even been having a little bit of fun at my expense. But, you know, as much as playing this little game has been a healthy distraction, and there's even been a few articles written about how it was very timely that this game launched on March 20th, as much as it has been a healthy distraction, the reality is still there. We are still dealing with the ramifications of a global pandemic. And you know, it very easily can happen that we let fear creep in and it takes hold, it takes root, and it begins to grow in our hearts and in our lives. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says that God actually has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but rather of love, power, and self-discipline. But don't those sound wonderful? Don't you long to experience love in your life and to have, you know, to have the power to choose and to have the self-discipline to put it into practice? You know, it's not exactly what we read in Exodus chapter 34. This is not what the people of Israel are experiencing. Now, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, of course, is referring to Exodus 34. He's referring to the historical account of Moses coming down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, the old covenant, the legal agreement between God and his people. And this, of course, is recorded in Exodus 34. We read that when Moses came down from the mountain with the tablets, we read that there was something very different about him. We read that his face actually shone with the glory of God. So much so that when he came down and his own brother Aaron saw him, he was scared of him. He was afraid. And when the people saw him, they were terrified. And after consultation and after discussion about the commandments he had received and his experience, Moses agreed to put a veil, a covering, a mask of sorts across his face to cover the glory of the Lord. Now, this glory would fade. It was temporary, and the experience was when Moses would go and spend time with God and talk with God and commune with God, when he would come back to the people, he would have this shining face. And so he would cover his face with a veil every time that this happened. But we read that it was only temporary and that it faded over time. Now, wouldn't it have been wonderful if the people of God during this time had have longed to experience the very same thing that Moses had experienced? But that's not what we read. We read that they were compelled to ask Moses to cover and hide the glory of God. They did not want to see it. This is out of fear, as their hearts were hardened. We read that Paul says in 2 Corinthians that their hearts were hardened and they just didn't understand, they didn't get it. Well, here's what the Apostle Paul says in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in regards to this glorious experience that Moses had happened in his life and the glorious experience that the people of God themselves had witnessed. He says that, shouldn't we expect far greater glory now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? Well, this is what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. He says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? You know, we are vessels of the glory of God. And the indwelling presence of God in our lives through the Holy Spirit does very, very special things in us and through us and for us. You see, we are created to display and declare the glory of God. And this is made possible because of Jesus and his work of redemption for us. My biblical studies professor in my undergrad, Dr. Ralph Richardson, would often say this in regards to Jesus in the Bible. He would say that the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed, and that the Old Testament was in the New Testament revealed in the person and work of Jesus. You know, that's what makes the old glorious, as Paul refers to it. He says, you know, the old was glorious, but the new is so much more glorious. It far, far exceeds anything that Moses had ever experienced. It is so much more glorious because it points to Jesus. He is the glory of God revealed to us. Well, these are Jesus' own words to us in John chapter 5. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the scribes, and this is what he says. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify to me. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Verse 39 in John chapter 5 refers to the whole body of the Old Testament writings and that they testify to the fact that they are about Jesus. To testify means to stand as a witness. So they stand as a witness to the person of Jesus. You see, what Paul's referring to is that in the old system, When Moses comes down, the Ten Commandments, they show the people God's standard of perfection, a standard that they can never achieve, a standard that they will never reach. In the book of Romans, Paul goes as far as to say that the only thing the Ten Commandments can do is condemn. But the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came and lived a perfect life for us, he says this about the old way. He says, I haven't come to abolish it, but I've actually come to fulfill it. And what we couldn't do, Jesus does for us. That's the glory. That's the glory that is revealed to us in the person and work of Jesus. The old way fades, but the new way in Jesus never fades because it's written on our hearts. In Jeremiah 31:31, we read that the new covenant would be written in our hearts and that we would know God and that we would be His people. Well, when does this happen? Well, the moment Jesus declared on the cross, it is finished, we read at that very same moment, another veil, not the veil that Moses wore in front of his face to hide the glory of God, to keep the people from seeing the glory of God, but the very veil in the temple that separated God's glory from the people. We read that that veil was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Was God Himself. God Himself opening the veil and allowing His glory to be shown, to be displayed and declared in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That is His glory displayed to us. Well, what does the Apostle Paul say in our passage? The Apostle Paul says that this happens when we turn to Jesus. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, verse 16, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. Do you long for freedom? I know today you long for freedom. You long to be able to be free to do what you want. To be able to go to a hockey game or a football game, or to be able to go on a trip somewhere and enjoy a wonderful part of the world. But have you ever experienced freedom from the bondage and slavery of sin? Are you free from guilt? Are you free from shame? Have you been freed from addiction? You know, Jesus offers these things to you. Jesus wants you to be free. He has finished the work to set you free. You just need to turn to Him. You know, there is a twofold blessing when we turn to Him. We don't only see Jesus for who He is, our Savior, our Lord, and our friend. He is our King. But we also have the privilege of displaying His very life in and through us. So we don't only see His glory, we also reflect His glory. And not like Moses. It's not a temporary thing. And it's not something that we need to hide. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but that of love, of power, and of self-discipline. You know, God wants you to be free, and you can truly be free when you experience the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, when you experience salvation through faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, that's when you begin the journey of really becoming the person who God has created you to be. We read this in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We read that you are God's workmanship. You've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works that He has prepared in advance for you to do. You'll never experience that life if you don't experience the freedom that you can have through Christ. You know, I'm tired of this virtual world. I'll be honest, I'm zoomed out. I'm completely zoomed out. But I continue on. We follow Ottawa Public Health and we follow our authorities, and we safely will enter back into life as we have known in the past, and we'll gradually get back to a state of normalcy. But the truth is that God has called you to live out virtually in another way. You know, we display and declare the glory of God through Jesus Christ who lives in us. You may be the only Jesus that someone else might see. You know, we have a motto here it's our mission statement here at KBC. We share, we grow, and we serve. You know, first and foremost, we share Jesus. We are about introducing others to the person of Jesus. You know, you can do that right now, right where you are, because in a way, you are a virtual Jesus. And as Jesus continues His work of redemption in your life, you are becoming more and more like Him. And you reflect the glory of God that is revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus, in the presence of the Holy Spirit actively working in your life with love and with power and with self-discipline. You know, it's all about love. We read that God is love. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that you might have eternal life in Him. And that's what God has called us to do and to be. You know, Billy Graham said this wonderful thing. He said, you know, it's not my job to judge. God will judge. It's not my job to convict. The Holy Spirit will convict. But it is my job to love. And God has called me to love Him and to love my neighbor. And so we have a ministry of love. You know, you can love people the way that Jesus loves them by turning to Him and experiencing the overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit in your life. It is powerful. It is powerful. It will vanquish those things that you just can't seem to shake off. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe it's something you did in the past. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's something that the evil one keeps bringing up in your life. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a character trait in your life that you just wish was better. You know, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have power to overcome these things. When we turn to Jesus, we can experience life in the Spirit. Perhaps you've heard this story before, and I'll contextualize it for this area here in Ottawa. And you know, there was this elderly lady in North Gore, and she was the very last person in North Gore to get power. Well, the power company, of course, Hydro One, was monitoring the power grid, and they noticed that she had her power for a number of months, but actually it wasn't working at her dwelling. And so they called upon her and asked her, and they wondered why such little power was being consumed at her place. Was there an issue with what was going on? And her response was, well, no, I turn on the lights just long enough to light my lanterns, and it's an absolute wonderful thing to be able to experience this wonderful invention of power. And maybe it's like that in your life. Maybe you've let fear and timidity come in and take hold and take root when God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity. You bear His image. And when we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and we experience the power of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we begin the journey of doing the things that He has created and prepared in advance for us to do. To have the freedom and the power to be the husband that He's always wanted us to be and created us to be, to be able to love others the way that Jesus loves them, to be able to be merciful to those who need mercy, to be able to forgive those who have hurt and wronged us, to be able to ask others to forgive us. All of these things and more can be yours in and through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So we don't only see His glory, we also reflect His glory. But more than that, we begin a process of being made more and more into His likeness. And this is not temporary glory, but an eternal transformation. And in the coming day, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be made perfect, and we will be like Him, spotless and blameless. May you experience a glimpse of that today, and may you shine brightly for Him. Amen.